Another sign of the intractable conflict in Syria, the United Nations Special Envoy for Syria has resigned. Lakhdar Brahimi is leaving in frustration after making no progress to end a conflict that has killed, by conservative estimates, more than 150,000 people. The battlefield in the civil war in Syria is now dotted with evidence that doctors and hospitals are on the front lines in this war that has produced horrible casualties for military and civilian alike. The hospitals are targets of violence, not a sanctuary from violence, and you can see it by going to a new map out today from the Physicians for Human Rights. Deliberate targeting has led to the deaths of more than 450 medical personnel since the conflict began in March of 2011. Joining me now is Whitney Brown, Director of Programs for Physicians for Human Rights. Whitney, welcome.
Thank you.
And also with us is Dr. Rilla Hallam, who's been on the ground in Syria within the past year. Dr. Rilla, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So this map that the Physicians for Human Rights has produced, and I'll talk about that in a minute, it really reflects the reality that you've experienced directly, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The data that they have got has been very much along the lines of what Syrian doctors have been saying for the last 3 years. There is state-sponsored mass murder and targeting of healthcare, using it literally as a weapon of war.
Whitney Brown, what was the mission of this map in terms of raising the profile of this issue in the Syrian conflict?
In the cascade of all the information flowing out of Syria, Physicians for Human Rights really wanted to look at the attacks on hospitals and medical service providers to determine whether it was, quote, collateral damage or whether these were intentional. And we were able to go through and substantiate that fully 150 attacks on hospitals and clinics were intentional, 90% committed by the government. And what this means is that each individual attack is a war crime. Taken together, they're a systematic, widespread, and they're a crime against humanity.
And is this the government going in and getting wounded because they think that they are members of the opposition and trying to root out what they call terrorists? Or is this just a generalized attack on medical facilities to basically terrorize the population?
Understood in the context of the besieging of almost 250,000 of civilians, we believe this is an attempt to punish the people in the opposition-held territories because they are attacking civilian hospitals. Again, 40 of the 91 Minister of Health hospitals in the opposition-held areas have been totally or completely destroyed. Now think about it. If a doctor treats somebody who's suffered chemical weapons injuries or shrapnel from barrel bombs, et cetera, they are powerful witnesses to the crimes that the Syrian government forces are committing through their indiscriminate use of weapons or unlawful use of weapons.
Dr. Rilla, what does a doctor do to protect him or herself? Wear flak jackets? I mean, they must know they're taking their lives into their hands by even entering a hospital in this situation.
Sure. I mean, I have to say the medical colleagues and aid workers in Syria who I've had the honor of meeting are some of the most heroic people I have ever known. And essentially, there is no way to protect yourself. These angels have taken it upon themselves that they will do their duty, which is to save lives. It's to save any life. And might I add, including the lives of fighters on any side. And there literally is no way of defending yourself. So these, you know, healthcare workers are in the hospitals. They're working up to, you know, sometimes even 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. One of my colleagues has literally not left the hospital for 4.5 months. And that's with bombs falling around them and bombs falling occasionally on them. Occasionally at checkpoints, they will maybe use different ID names so that they're not identified as doctors because it's at checkpoints that they can often get arrested. And sadly, we know that we've got the names of over 800 detained healthcare workers. It's a huge burden and rising, unfortunately, by the day.
Dr. Rilla Hallam, our understanding is that the International Red Cross and the NGO infrastructure is designed to be behind the front lines and be a sanctuary from violence. How much has that whole network been disrupted by the attacks by the government and, to a lesser extent, the opposition?
Yeah, unfortunately, from the very beginning of this uprising, there has been no sanctuary in medical facilities. It started actually with right at the very beginning in Homs when injured civilians were arriving in the hospitals and they were arrested or killed on the spot in the hospitals due to their presumed involvement in the uprising. So from the very, very beginning, this was occurring. And this led the healthcare workers to form what we now call field hospitals. They are not hospitals in any sense of the word. These are abandoned basements, warehouses, and rooms where the doctors and nurses were attempting to treat civilians in relative safe havens so that they would not be targeted. So unfortunately, from day one, this has been happening, and there has been so little action from the international community in terms of pressuring the government to do anything on this front, and that really needs to change.
What do you hope this map might do to encourage some sort of action, Whitney Brown?
We're hoping that once people realize, and governments in particular, realize how deliberate it is, there'll be much more pressure on the Syrian government and the opposition forces to allow medical aid into those areas, as well as food. Starvation is an issue. And in fact, the besieging should stop. So it's a very short-term goal we want of just save lives, just like the doctors are doing, even as they risk theirs every day. Attacks on the medical doctors, the nurses, and the hospitals must stop, period. Again, all sides need to cease that. In the long term, there must be a commitment to seek justice in this.
Before we go, can either of you tell me the story of a doctor or a healthcare worker who made the ultimate sacrifice, whose details and heroism you're aware of on a personal level?
Gosh, so many examples spring to mind, to be honest. One of my colleagues, a 27-year-old oncology specialist, has been very proactive from the beginning of the uprising in trying to make these field hospitals, and each time they were found, the field hospitals were destroyed, burnt to the ground, everyone inside them killed. He managed to survive over the last 3 years, and 4 months ago, him and eight other of his colleagues were arrested in Damascus. All doctors. Most of them remain in prison still. They are charged with treating civilians in opposition areas. One of my colleagues was released 3 weeks ago. He has been so incredibly badly tortured. He said to me when he was talking about his 4 months in prison that he thought he had died 5 times during his torture and interrogation. I mean, that is happening to a doctor for treating civilians. I can't even imagine that I'm having to say the sentence in this day and age. It's just incredibly heartbreaking, and there's just so many examples like him. Incredible heroism.
Treating civilians, a crime in Syria. Dr. Rilla Hallam, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Rilla Hallam has been on the ground in Syria within the past year, documenting evidence that you can see on the Physicians for Human Rights' latest map out today that shows deliberate targeting of medical facilities. Whitney Brown, Director of Programs for Physicians for Human Rights, thanks so much.
Thank you.
To check out the new map developed by Physicians for Human Rights, visit thetakeaway.org.
Support for The Takeaway comes from Reputation.com, encouraging everyone to check their online search results, because search results define you or your business. Learn more at Reputation.com.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.